हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिः 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 ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगराधर शिवसरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. Right, so Songs of the Acharyas, Partana, on Song 5, page 25. Praneshvara Nividan E Jana Kare. So this is all in that line of what were these songs? Some Prarthanatmika, prayer for the awakening of attachment to the Lord. Praneshvara Nivedhana E Janakare Govinda Gokula Chandra Parama Ananda Kanda Gopikula Priya Deka More. O Govinda, Lord of my life, you are the moon of Gokula, the abode of transcendental bliss, and the beloved of the gopis. Please cast your glance my way. Tua Priya Pada Seva E Dhana More Deva Tumi Prabhu Karunara Niti Parama Mangala Yasa Shravane Parama Rasa. O my Lord, since you are an ocean of mercy, I pray for a drop of that mercy, the treasure of serving your lotus feet. Even hearing your glories is supremely auspicious and bestows transcendental bliss to the hearer and fulfills all desires. Karakiba Karja Nahe Siddhi Dharuna Samsara Gati Vishayete Lubdhamati Tuya Vishmar Marana Shela Bhuke Jara Jara Tanu Mana Achetana Anu Anukshana Jiyate Marana Bhela Bhuke Mobhada Adhama Jane Kara Kripa Niri Kshane. Due to forgetfulness of you, I wander in this terrible material life, attached to sense gratification, my mind and body shattered and spiritually unconscious. Like this, I am like a dying man in pain and misery. Dasakara Rakta Vrindavane, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nama Prabhu Mora Gaura Dhamma, Narottama Laila Sharane. Narottam Das prays to his golden complexion, Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Please give me your merciful glance on me and keep me as a servant in Vrindavan. You are my only shelter. Yeah. So you see, he's asking for this aspect of just, please glance upon me, please just give me a drop of your mercy. You have unlimited mercy, just a drop. Because that drop of justice is enough. We have to remember how big are we. A drop's way bigger than us. So therefore, just a drop of this mercy, then you'll have that treasure of serving Krishna, his lotus feet. Then, always absorbing himself and thinking of him. The problem comes as we're in the material world. Being here, we've forgotten Krishna. Then we're absorbed in all the material situations and everything that we're in here. And then because of that, then we're not absorbed in spiritual consciousness. And the situation here that we're in, itself is not that wonderful. We're absorbed in the material world, but it itself is not giving any really nice rewards and all that. So we're absorbed in trying to squeeze something out of it, but actually it has nothing to offer. So then he's saying that you just please keep me as your servant in Vrindavan, right? That if I'm absorbed in this way by your mercy, then I can be in Vrindavan, and in being in Vrindavan, then I can, render some service.
All right.
Yes.
Continuing on the last point on the practical application, we see this here. The Acharya songs are just giving that conclusion from that application perspective. That's why they're very concise, condensed, and at the same time, like, no, very deep.
Yes. Yes. Because it's that's what he's saying is the kindness that's there. So it's in simple Bengali, but sometimes we saw it's like in the introduction that they'll emphasize the thing. The Goswamis wrote in Sanskrit, so you know, very difficult, but the Acharyas, they wrote in simple Bengali. And so yes, that's true. But what's just because it's written in simple Bengali, it's like this, that's the glory, because it's also, you know, Kali. What is his name? The one who did Ramayana in Hindi?
Ramayana in Hindi.
Tulsidas. Yeah, Tulsidas. Yeah, he does. You know, so many people do that kind of thing. So, yes, it is written in simple Bengali. It is made accessible. But the important thing is what you're mentioning here, is that they're giving the conclusions of all the scriptures in these simple songs. So that means it's simple language and it has this the perfect conclusions. You know? So the thing is that because you don't want to be taken that so it just has that sweetness that something so perfect can be said in such a simple way. Because otherwise then you make the same mistake as that Prabhupada's writing in English in simple language. He's not, I mean, he could use fancy language, like you use Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. You want to read, you know, Brahma Samhita. For every page, you have to look in the dictionary 5 times. You know, it's just like he uses words that you'd never even heard of them.
I used 20 to 25 times, Maharaj.
Oh, me, it was 5 times, but the page, yeah. It's just that. And so, and everything's exactly perfect how he's using it. It's not even that, oh, you could use it that way, but there'd be a better word. No, it's very exact. You know, it's just like, you know, and at the same, and, you know, so, but Prabhupada uses very simple language, like lay language. You know, that's the whole point. The Bengali is like a Prakriti, it's a lay language. And so then that way, then it's accessible. But it's what's being given that's the important point. So then Prabhupada's writing in the simple language, and because of that, we think, oh, he's giving just simple understanding. He's not giving the real fancy stuff. And so therefore then, you know, according to guru, you know, how you say Indian guru 101, then someone can come along and say, oh, he's giving the basics. I'll give you the fancy stuff, you know, and they'll use some fancy words and stuff like that. And so then you think, oh, it is something higher, but it's not understood. Prabhupada's just writing in the same way that the Acharyas wrote. Because you see, he has no problem explaining the Sanskrit of a word and breaking it down. When he explains the Sanskrit word, he's not using just the dictionary meaning like Mr. Monier and that, you know, Wilt. You know, it's a matter of, he gets into what it's doing, how it works. And he can even say the case, this, that. He means that. So technical Sanskrit is knowing, but he's presenting so that you can catch it. You don't get sidetracked. That's the thing, is that the expert, or at least the one person who thinks he's expert, then for them, it's the wording. You have all the fancy words, then it has the taste, you know? And if it doesn't, then it's not about that. You know, they don't catch that it's, you know, no, but where's the taste? Where's the, you know, it doesn't have that intellectual aspect to it. But that's the whole point, is that we have to understand is the intellectual aspect is overrated, because it's not about conclusion. It's about the technical grammar, the word vocabulary, or, you know, a particular intellectual context or a logic. This is what gives the intellectual taste. That's why the intellectual is not glorified as the one who knows the Lord. Otherwise, you know, the Shastra would say, only the great intellectuals and the great yogis can know the Lord, not the common person. But it doesn't say that. It says you cannot learn, approach the Lord through any of these things, only through bhakti. And bhakti is available to everybody. Right? So that's the point. That's what's actually the principle. So when the acharyas write like this, that's the thing, is that they can give the supreme conclusions in a very simple way. This has never been done before. If it's simple, it's for simpletons. And if it's very sophisticated, it's just for sophisticated people. But here he's giving the most sophisticated understandings in the simplest way that anybody can approach. Because if you go back, now that we get used to the terms, you know, as we go through, just over the years, you hear the terms, you get used to the terms. But it's not even that you've heard the terms. It's when we start to understand what the terms mean, right? Just that you have the terms memorized doesn't mean anything, even though that's greatly eulogized in this world. But, that you have that memory, that's great. That's good if you have it. But if you don't understand what it means, what's the point? So as you understand the meaning of the technical terminologies and the presentations, then when you go back, you see Prabhupada uses all the technical words that the acharyas use in Sanskrit, but he doesn't use them all the time. He'll mention them here and there in his reference, and then he'll continue using the simple English. But otherwise, all these sambandhabhide and prayojan, all these different things that are there, the cause and effect and all these, he uses all of them. You know, all the technical points that are in the Sandarbhas, they're all in his purports. But it's just a simple language, and then there's more a chance to catch it. Like that. And it's more approachable. So then, yes, like that. So, and that understanding it, what's the point if you understand it and don't apply it? You know, it's just like you're talking to someone, about, how smoking's not good. And they understand everything. So what do you expect to come next? Right? They'll stop smoking. But what if they don't? So what's the point? Understanding is also overrated if it's not applied as a value. You know, it's step by step, of course. You hear, you've never heard. Then any doubts that come up, you clear the doubts. Then you start to practice it and everything like that. You remove the misgivings and all of that. By the continued process, then you come to realize, what its value is, and then that's how you apply it in your life. So you're trying to come to realization. So they're presenting these realizations in a simple way that's accessible for us. Yeah.
Yes, Maharaj. So it's one. It's not just understanding the point, but one needs to see the relevance in one life of that principle which one has understood. And even in our, while we are writing essays, that's what we are looking for when in a practical application, whether a student may be at any level, but at his level, whether he's able to see the relevance of that principle in his own life or not.
Yeah, so it's the same mood, it's the same approach. It just may be you have a more volume of understanding and things like that. So then from a wider range, you can pull different things. But it's still the same point of application. That's why the neophyte devotee applying himself in Krishna consciousness and in activity, and the advanced devotee applying themselves externally, is the same thing. It's just the depth becomes more. But it's not that the attitude changes, because in the material world, then someone who's new, then they don't know and everything like that. Of course, you always have that newbie who knows everything and all that, and everybody's annoyed by them. So those who are expert are annoyed. Those who are new are annoyed. Just everybody's annoyed. So the only one you can actually hang out with is another one who's like that, and then they can talk about how they know everything and everybody else doesn't know anything. Though everybody knows they can't do whatever they're doing anyway, right? So the whole point is, but it's there, but the depth is the same. So that means the person who's a master in somebody can relate to the person who's new, because the principle is the same. That's who you're trying to get, that practical application. But in the modern thing is, no, he knows the fancy words, he knows this and that, and so it's good. And so, yeah, it's like that. But you have to be able to apply it, because just being able to do know the technique, know the things, it's not actually good enough. You know, you can copy. So, you know, some extent, you know, if you're observant, you can see things and just copy it. But that activity is coming by a realization, therefore it's done like that. So if you just copy the action, if you copy the action and think you know it, that's a problem. But if you're copying the action because you don't know anything, so you're trying to follow in the footsteps. In other words, are you imitating or are you following the footsteps? So the same activity then becomes glorious. So even though you can say technically the imitation is by qualities maybe on a better level than someone who's following the footsteps, but the problem is by attitude, it doesn't even count. You know, it means you're not even within the context of being considered. Or there's some person who's following the footsteps, then they're already considered. They're already in the process. While the other one, they're still outside. You know, it's like, I'm sure that the honeybee can sit there and tell you, you know, so much about honey. Right? But if he's on the outside of the jar, he can't taste anything. You know? So that's the thing, is that as a starting point, it's all right, because we're used to that. We're used to, you know, it's the knowledge, it's the skill, that's the real thing. That's how I tell if I'm more advanced, is how much I know the knowledge and skill. That's why you see sometimes devotees will come, they'll get involved. After 3-4 years, they know all the knowledge and skill that everybody's using. And now it's like, okay, now what? Now they get absorbed in something else and get distracted, you know, or go away, you know, because that's just the form you use. Then there's the actual ability, you know, like in cooking, there's the technique. And a few weeks, someone can teach you all the techniques there are. But just because you're using the technique doesn't mean you get the balanced taste. You know? And so the person who's about balanced taste, techniques are only about how they give taste. Well, the other is no techniques, I'm doing this. And that. You know, it's like you always see, let's say you're showing, you know, on something, you're showing some restaurant somewhere, right? They'll always show that point where they do something where the pan is being flipped and the thing is catching on fire, right? Well, at least if you go back a few years, that was all the things that, all, you know, how it's catching on fire. But they don't use that for everything. Guarantee when they make so many of the things, nothing catches on fire. But they won't show other things like that. You know, before it used to be you showed them cutting stuff or, you know, stirring stuff, you know, and really looking and smelling. But now it has to be, it's on fire, you know, so. No, yeah. So the it's you think, oh, see, it's all happening. So if you can do that, okay, nice. But that doesn't mean that it's that's what's going on. Does that make sense?
Also, that's why those who are just on knowledge and skill, and then they don't go deeper. The rest of the life, they only look for that recognition for their knowledge and skill, even.
Yes, yes. And then that's the whole point, is they know this, they know more than the other, they know this and that, which is nice and maybe true. It means it is one of the Vedic principles to recognize someone's knowledge. If someone has knowledge, you know, that's to be recognized. Someone with more knowledge is recognized as having more knowledge than someone who has less. But higher than that is being able to use it, you know. So that's the thing, is that the direction is as far as you can actually do something. Like that. Once you can do something, then it becomes useful.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Song 6. Hari Hari Kripa Kari Rakta Nijapade. Hari Hari Kripa Kari Rakta Nijapade. Kama Krodha Chaya Jane. Laya fire nana stane, vishaya bunjaya nana mate. O Lord Hari, please be merciful and keep me safe at your lotus feet. The six enemies headed by lust and anger are dragging me to different places, enticing me to enjoy my senses in various ways. Right? That's why they're considered enemies, because they, when they're prominent, you're servant of these. One may say, you know, this and that, but they're dragging. That's why I said, one servant to lust, one servant to anger, one servant to that. That's why then we see the, for the great sages, they're not servant of these things. Not that the opportunity doesn't come up, but they, even if emotion, they don't care. Because there's a natural flow of how things work and everything like that. But they're not worried about it. Or it just doesn't even come up at all. And so that's the thing. They're not servant of the senses. Well, we tend to be servant of these, of you know, the senses. And the senses were engaging in, you know, the six enemies. Lust, anger, greed. You know, I said lust, anger, greed.
Illusion.
Illusion, madness, and envy. Yeah, so following, we're engaging the senses according to these six. So when we stop doing that and engage the senses according to service of Krishna, then it becomes nice. And if you wonder, well, how are we engaging in lust, anger, and greed? Then that's what Rupa Goswami then gives in the Upadeshamrita. You know, therefore, you know, things of the tongue, belly, genitals, the words, the mind, and the anger. Then you know where they're applied, and then what things to avoid, what things to do, you know, so then, okay, we're not doing those. How do we avoid that? Then there's six things that are given. And then when you see that, then there's six things you should do. So then very nicely, the acharyas point out practical plans, you know, that we go through these step by step. That's why it's sadhana, because we're practicing. We go through the step by step. But you see, as the great acharyas, that for them, then because they had a taste in Krishna consciousness, they don't do something else because they want to serve Krishna. They don't do anything connected with Maya. So that's why you see it become spontaneous. Spontaneous doesn't mean a different method or that. It just means you want to do Krishna consciousness because you're not interested in Maya. That's spontaneous. But intellectually, I can see as no, Krishna consciousness is what I should do. This Maya is not working out. That's Vaidhi, because I'm doing it because this is what you're supposed to do. But the point is sadhana bhakti means the rules are going to be the same, but you're following because otherwise, if you don't follow these, you won't know what to do. The other ones, you're doing these because this is what you want to do. You want to please Krishna. You know? And so sometimes you may see the rules, certain things may move around. You know, it's just like, let's say, in a meal, you know, generally you would, you know, you're serving, you would serve some juice and you give all the other things and like that. And then you come back later with the juice. But let's say it's a hot day, you serve the juice, you might be serving it two or three times. I remember having sometimes in the middle of summer, you know, it's been all day, you're working and all that like that. And let's say we you know, would serve the you know, the GBC and all that, and only after they're all finished and everyone's gone, then the service would sit down, you know, or it would be a big feast, you know, after, you know, a fast day, you know, so you're having something, so you haven't drank for, you know, at least half the day, and then when you sit down to eat in the serving, so then you could get a thing going where you'd have yourself and the person next to you, because you're both very thirsty, and you only have those little clay cups, you know. So they'll fill your cup. And as soon as they filled and they're filling the next, you immediately drink the whole thing, right? And then ask for more. They fill yours. While you're filling yours, the other guy drinks his. And this way you can get, you know, 6, 8, 10 cups drunk while he's there. Otherwise, you know, to get that many cups, it would take you, you know, even the whole time. Does that make sense? So that's not the normal way the serving would go, but it applies to the situation. Does that make sense? You know, as I said, normally you come, serve the drink, start serving the first preparations, go through, and then come back with the drink. But because of that, so you're not breaking the rules as such, because serving drink is not breaking the rule. But it's just, you know, if you're following a technical, logical pattern, it would go like this. But then because of the personal, it may not always work like that. But the point is it's not going out of the rules. Something might be skipped or something might be put before. something might be reversed. Like you see sometimes when it's discussing the eight levels of Preeti, then you see is when they're talking about Shantaras is explained in one way. When you're talking about the Dasya, Sakya, and Dasya, then there's another kind of form. Then when you're dealing with the Sakya and the Vatsalya, that's maybe slightly different. And then with the conjugal, then the order is different. You know, the Bhava being there, Bhava Prema, generally those are always there. And then at the end, the Anubhava and Mahabhava, those are going to be there. But what's in between, they can move around depending upon the rasa. You know, what follows what? Because of this, then you go to this and that. So we just put them as a natural form that they go through. But at the same time, is that can be constantly moving. Does that make sense? So it doesn't go outside of these. So being spontaneous, it's not that there's a ninth one. You know? No, it's always within these. They may have the subdivisions and everything like that. So same way as the sadhana is you have the 64 items. But which one will be prominent when and that, then that will come up is in the application. Does that make sense? You know, so like that. Yeah. Haya Mayara Dasa Kari Nana Abhilasa Tomara Smarana Gela Dure Arta Labha E Ashe Kapata Vaishnava Veshe Brahmiya Bulaye Ghare Ghare. Forgetting you, I became a servant of Maya and desiring so many things for myself. Then, hoping to collect some money, I disguised myself as a Vaishnava and wandered from door to door. Right, so then taking advantage of the position one's in or things like that to get one's facilities, instead of just seeing is that we do everything for Krishna, now we forget Krishna, then we do things for ourselves. And so in the same way is that if we're remembering Krishna, then our position, our facilities, our influences and contacts, we'll use all for Krishna's service. But if not, we'll use them for ourselves. So he's pointing out is forgetting you, then I've used all these advantages just for myself. Aneka dhukera pare laye chile brajapune kripa dora galaya bandhiya daiva maya bhala kare kashaya se dore bhava kupe dileka daria. After a great dealing of suffering, you then kindly tied your rope of mercy around my neck and brought me back to Vrindavan. But then your external potency, Mayadevi, forcibly untied that rope and threw me into the well of material existence. Right? So by Krishna's mercy, because he's in the heart of the devotee, he always tries to arrange everything. Then he says, tying the rope of your mercy around my neck. Right? So that's a very forceful way to take someone somewhere. So if you're using a rope around their neck, you're tied it around somewhere else than they can do, but when it's around your neck, then you just kind of hold on to the rope to, not choke yourself and just follow, right? And so by Krishna's mercy, he brought this back, brings us back to Vrindavan, but then Mayadevi, she unties the rope and throws us into a well of material existence. So we have to be very, very careful, right? Like that. That's the point that comes up. Punav jadi kripa kore se e janare kesha dhari taniya tulaha braja dhame tabe se dekiya bhala natupa parana gela kahe dina dasa narutam. So if you kindly once again catch my hair and pull me out of the well and place me in Braja Dham, only then will I be saved. Thus praise poor Narottam Das. Like you see is that, it becomes closer and closer. I'm wandering in the material world. I've completely forgotten you. I have no idea. You're just praying to Krishna, please give me a drop of your mercy. Like that. But now he's saying is that, he's how you say, Yeah. That I'm, you know, in that, I want to be situated in the service, but I'm distracted by Maya, by the six enemies. Then you've given me this opportunity, and then Maya's tricked me again, you know, and then, so please, you know, it says, catching my hair, pull me out of this well, like that. So we can see is that, you know, gradually, this same position of feeling of praying for the Lord's mercy, but you see the level at which is happening goes higher and higher. But it's not that they ever think, yeah, I'm so fabulous, aren't I so fabulous? Wish no one even to notice how fabulous I am. They somehow know they don't find a song like that. Song 7. Hari Hari Bada Shela Marame Rahila. Hari Hari Barda Shela Marame Rahila Paya Dulabhatanu Shri Krishna Bhajana Vinu Janma Mora Vipala Haila. O Lord Hari, a great javelin of lamentation is pierced my heart, even after attaining this rare human body. Still I have not worshipped my beloved Shri Krishna, and thus my life has become useless. Rajendra Nandana Hari, Davadvipe Avatari, Jagat Bhariya Prema Diva. Muni Se Paramamati, Bisheshe, Kartina Ati, Tehi More, Karuna Nahila. Lord Hari, though the son of the king of Braja appeared in Navadvipa and fulfilled the whole and filled the whole world with love of God, but I alone could not receive his mercy because I am so sinful and hard-hearted. Right? So we see devotees are always seeing that how they're not engaged and all that. Or I'm not, you know, that even if it's in that, you know, they're more advanced, they're absorbed in Krishna, but they're thinking that I'm not really nicely serving Krishna. I'm not doing something like that. Swarupa Sanatana Rupa Raghunatha Bhata Juga Tahate na haila mora mati. Divya chintama nitama vrinda vana hena stana se dhamma na kainu vasati. My mind refused to be attracted to Srila Srupa Dhamana Goswami, Srila Sanatana Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, nor did I desire to reside in Vrindavan. Right, because we see attractive means following the instructions, right? You know, trying to look like the Babaji's and do all Babaji stuff, that's not attractive to them. That's competing with them. That's imitating. No, it means following means that we're attracted to their mood and how they've given instructions, how you can be engaged in the service. Right, living in Vrindavan means you're not living in the place because I know from whatever is the externals, you're living there because it's Vrindavan. It's a place of Krishna's eternal abode. So therefore service rendered there, then you know, so much benefit is gained. You know, like that. You can please Krishna so nicely there. Right? You know, that's the attraction to Vrindavan. Vishesha Vishaya Mati. Nahila Vaishnava Rati Nirantara Keda Ute Mane Narutama Dasa Kahe Jivera Uchita Nahe Sri Guru Vaishnava Seva Vina. My mind is totally absorbed in sense enjoyment. I have not developed attachment for the Vaishnavas. Always suffering and lamenting, Narutama Dasa implores you to not live without serving Sri Guru and the Vaishnava. Right. So he's saying, you know, he's suffering so much like that because he hasn't, but he's imploring that everybody else, then you don't try to live your life without serving Guru and the Vaishnavas, because that's the real key. So if you serve Guru and the Vaishnavas, then everything else will work very nicely. Because for Krishna, he's performing his service. I mean, he's performing his pastimes in the environment of the Vaishnavas, and the Vaishnavas are serving other Vaishnavas there. So Krishna is serving Vaishnavas, and the Vaishnavas are serving Vaishnavas. So the point is if you want to function in the environment where Krishna is involved in his pastimes, you have to be in the environment of serving Vaishnavas. So even if we haven't realized Krishna, we're given the opportunity to be in that highest position of which Krishna then is performing his pastimes. We're thinking, oh, I'm serving here. And then there's the past. The pastimes means Krishna serving the Vaishnavas. So, and everybody else is following the Vaishnavas. They're serving the servant of the servant. So everybody's serving like that. And so then that aspect is that we're given immediately. We're given the opportunity to function in the environment of the spiritual world by serving the Vaishnavas. So it's a very special thing. We'll think, oh, no, but it's something different. No, this is the environment. And as you absorb yourself in that and that becomes central, then you'll see Krishna is also involved. Right? Because he's taking care of the Vaishnavas. He's doing all the things. He's all the wonderful qualities. And so then you see that once it's there, then he wants to get involved. Does that make sense? You know, it's a very common thing is that you're organizing something and getting other people to do it when they're doing it nicely, then you get inspired to get involved. You know? Does that make sense? You know, it's like the guy that said he's organizing the kitchen and all that, getting this and do this, that one, that, when everyone's doing nicely, now he's seeing that he wants to do something. He wants to, okay, everybody's doing so, now I'll cook this. You know, so you're going to have that kind of aspect, or you're getting friends together and they're all wrestling, and when it's all really, the mood is really good and absorbed, then you want to get in and wrestle. You know, it's the same kind of thing. Whatever's going on, then you get inspired. So that's the thing, is that when the environment of the Vaishnavas serving the Vaishnavas, and you know, in that proper mood and attitude and that dependence on Krishna reaches its summit, then Krishna is part of the pastimes. So we're given that right from the beginning. So much of the time we don't even understand what we're being given. But the point is that that doesn't matter. It works anyway. Even if you don't understand, it'll still work. And you'll still be able to, and you'll advance. And then as we go, then we start to notice more and more that we've already been given, you know, such a wonderful opportunity. Song 8, Hari Hari Ki Mora Karma Abhaga. Hari Hari Ki Mora Karma Abhaga Bifale Jivana Gela Ridaye Rahila Shela Nahi Bhela Hari Anuraga. O Lord Hari, alas, my own misdeeds have made me an unfortunate wretch. There is an intense pain of having wasted my life by not developing love for you, which remains and grows in my heart. Yajyadana Tirthastana, Punya Karma Japa Dhyana, Akarane Sheva Gela Mohe, Bhuji Lama Mane Hena, Upahasa Haya Jaina, Vastra Hina Alankara Dehe. My sacrifice, charity, bathing at holy places, pious activities, chanting mantras, and meditation are all useless and like an illusion. These religious activities are just jokes or are like ornaments on a naked body. Sadhu Mukhe Katamrita Shuniya Bhimala Chitta Nahi Bhela Aparadha Karana. Satata Asat Sangha Sakali Haila Banga Ki Kariba Aila Shamana. Even after hearing the nectarine topics of Krishna, my mind is still not purified because of my offenses. I always associate with non-devotees and thus break all moral principles of life. What will I do when death comes to me? Right? So he's pointing out all these things, and these are all things that we would consider very, very nice. Right? So if you're not developing love for Krishna, then one's wasting time, even if one's doing all these wonderful things, sacrifice, charity, bathing, holy places. But the whole point of all those is to please Krishna. Not that it's that you're following the rule, you're doing technically everything like that, and everything's going very nice, and That's good if you think ultimately it's for Krishna. But you have to understand it's the mood that is that part where you say it's for Krishna. That's the devotional side. Right? The other things, these are just forms that can be used in devotion. So all these different aspects of religion are just there to be used as the mediums in which you are remembering Krishna and performing everything to please Krishna. But if you just perform them without it being for Krishna, you're just doing it for their own material benefits, you know, gross or subtle, then like he says, then it's just ornaments on a naked body, you know, and so all these things.
Maharaj?
Yes.
Also the point in the current verse is explained like even after hearing the nectarian topics, mind is not purified because of offenses. The point on the offenses, like the mind is still not purified because of offenses.
Yes.
Actually, this point is very rarely understood. Many times, after many years of practice also, we feel that we are not advancing. Yes. But I personally see like most of these offenses, or at least some of them, they are based on our attitude rather than just doing a particular kind of like no service itself. So we may work on the doing the service, but attitude, developing the right mood and attitude, we may not work. So still then the offenses are not gone, and then because of which mind is not purified.
Yes. This attitude, see, devotion is an attitude. And so that surrender to Krishna, it's an attitude. It's not what you're doing. See, if you come from a background where piety is not your standard activity, or at least it's so buried or so distorted that you really have to, you know, be a bit generous or broad-minded to be able to see what principle that is being used. And so therefore, externally, the activities that are going on don't really have anything to do with, you know, the proper devotional practices. Then when one comes in contact by the grace of Vaishnavas, then one takes up the activities of devotional service. And so one thinks it's the activities that make it devotional service, right? And so those who say it's the activity, if you're not doing this, it's not devotional service, that comes up to be the hard, you know, approach. Then those who us know it about all that, it's just about, you know, but then they leave that, you know, so you get the two aspects of Niyamagraha. And so you just get two opposites of one aspect. But the point is, these are the activities that you use the right mood, because one says it's the activity, and they don't think about the mood. The other, oh, it's all about the mood. The activity doesn't matter. But it's that activity being performed with that mood. That's the standard way of dealing. And so it's not because it's a rule. It's because this is what Krishna likes. Right? You know, you have a friend that likes a certain thing, and so that's what you you go to that place to eat, or you bring that for the person. Right? And it's not a rule that you have to bring that. It's just you do that naturally because it's something they like. But now let's say you have someone else that's not there. Let's say you're talking about a child. So then there's going to be someone babysitting or something like that. So they don't know. So he'll eat this. He won't eat that. Like I remember when the kid came new to the school, it was amazing how long she talked of all the things to consider when he's eating. It was like amazing, you know, the detail of what he eats and this only with that and only this first. And if this one comes, then he won't eat that. And that, it just went on and on and on, you know. So it's just, here's the food. You're hungry, eat it. You're not, you don't eat it, you know. And so then, you know, you see after a few weeks, they all adjust. The mother was surprised because she was saying, without all these things, he won't eat. You know, so you want me to be there, you know, to make sure he eats and everything like that. And then, no, it's okay. And then, you know, a few days later, she comes, she was surprised. He's eating. How is it possible he's eating? Because without all these things, there's rules that won't go. No, Mike, no. Sound, no.
Maharaj, I just got a call and just answered.
Oh, I see. You're taking care of that. Okay. I thought you were talking and so then. Okay.
Maharaj, also another point on the attitude is initially, like, you know, we understand the etiquettes and we keep following. But if over a period of time, we don't internalize those principles, then still then we get stuck up because then we still, like, no, God didn't get completely, get rid of the offenses themselves.
Yes, yes. That's right. Bhakti Notekar calls it like steps. You're on a step, then you stick to the next. Okay, some more technical aspects of the, you know, what we're supposed to do and all that. You know, and then, you know, and then you're able to do that so that you don't need the lower step, you bring it up. But then if you don't, like, say there, the aspect of the attitude, if you don't go after, you just stay on the same step. And then if you get too used to that and all that, you take that as the main, and then you might not even see these other steps. Or you might even think, you know, it doesn't matter, I can, you know, you don't even notice. Maya is so clever, like she said. You said in the previous song, he just, you know, unties the knot, rope, and then throws him into a well. You know, and so that's the whole thing. You think it's a, you know how you say that the drop is fun, you know, it's like being on a swing. When you come down, oh, it's fun, you know, like that. You don't notice that only when you hit the bottom, then you go, oh, it's a well. So, yeah. So that's why it's always said, be careful of the offenses and all that. And so then if you pray to the Lord, take shelter of the Lord, surrender to the Lord, then, you know, these things will work. And so those things that you need to be conscious of, those then, you know, one will be made aware, and then you can take advantage of them there. And other things you may not need to be aware of, then just by that surrender to Krishna, they go away. You know, that's why it's mentioned that, you know, in the pastimes of all the demons, all the purification that's there, and certain ones of them you have to be aware and trying, then they'll be taken care of. And other ones, just by being absorbed in Krishna's service and surrender to Krishna, they'll just go away on their own. I mean, Krishna will take care of it. But I think it's the Balaram's ones, you have to be aware of them and trying for it, though just that endeavor to try, you'll make it work. You know, it's just like the kids trying to get something and the adult picks them up. Right? If the attitude's right, the attitude's, you know, no, I can get myself this and that, then they're on their own. So you have to make that endeavor, and, you know, with that proper attitude, and then that's taken care of. So that's why then this mood of, you see, of that surrender, that aspect like that, the serving the Guru and Vaishnavas, these things are in place, then all the steps will naturally come as the heart gets purified. Right, as we get purified, the steps will come. But if this aspect of serving Guru and the Vaishnavas and that surrender to Krishna are not there, then there's a problem. You know, so we have to be very, very careful that we don't avoid these aspects, you know, in the name of something else. Oh, people won't understand if we're worshiping Guru and all that, so we don't want to see any worship of Guru. We don't want to turn anybody away from Krishna consciousness by them coming to the temple and seeing the Guru Puja and think, what are these guys? Why are they worshiping this person? And all that, you know, and so then they make these adjustments but they're actually against serving Guru Vaishnavas, you know, like that. So, you know, so we have to be very careful about that, or that surrender to Krishna, you know. Is that, you know, no, but, you know, you are who you are, you know, you can't give that up. You have to be practical, you know, we're Westerners, we can't just do all these Indian things like that. And, you know, I'm sure that, you know, any Westerner, you hand them a samosa, they would be able to eat it, you know, and they probably wouldn't have any problem picking it up with their fingers and eating it like that, because that's how you would eat stuff anyway. You know, this idea of eating with your fingers, that's not a Western thing. How do you eat a sandwich? How do you eat a burger? How do you eat French fries? You know, and I was told by somebody coming from aristocracy, and in England, asparagus is eaten with your fingers. It's not eaten with your fork. You know, because there's these long things, so you pick them up. That's why they're always in line. You know, you pick them up and you eat them. And then after, you wipe your hands on the napkins. So you know, these are just excuse. We have to be very, very careful that we're not taking the externals, that's the Krishna consciousness. And at the same time, as we don't do those things. So we give things up that we don't know how they're naturally part of the process. And we take that there's an attitude, but we don't actually attain the attitude. Oh, it's just the attitude. We don't need those, but do you have the, okay, great. It's just the attitude. That surrender to Krishna. Do you have surrender to Krishna? No. So that's why we follow these things to generate that attitude. So we have to be careful that we don't avoid what's there. Yeah. Right. And moral principles means what benefits others. So the ultimate moral principle is what benefits Krishna and the Vaishnavas. Right. The immediate is what you get. The next is what you get, you know, in the context of society, right? Then it's like the laws of God. So therefore, because they're laws, that's the way it works. I'm practical. So by following them, I'll get all the things that I want. So you're just as materialistic as, say, the person on Manamoy is just as technically as materialistic as the person on Pranamoy. And, you know, and it's about themselves getting benefit, but they're willing to follow God's laws to get it. Well, in Pranamoy, they'll just, you know, unless they figured out that it's a law, they don't care about it. Right? When they figured out that, no, this is the way it works, then everybody's got to do it that way. But if they haven't figured it out, it's like, that's archaic, or that's, you know, that's sentimental, or all these things. You know, so they're going to be following, but ultimately, it's, no, it's about what benefits Krishna. That's actually what morality is for. So that means that's the highest morality. So if you're benefiting Krishna, you know, naturally it's going to benefit everybody else, because you can't worship Krishna and ignore everybody else. So that means if that's the case, then what that pleases Krishna, that will please everybody else. Shruti Smriti Sadar Rabe Shuniyache A Shave Haripada Abhaya Sharana Janama Laya Shuke Krishna Na Balinu Mukhe Nash Karinu Se Rupa Bhavana. I have heard that the Shrutis and Smritis declare that we should take shelter of the lotus feet of Hari, which grant fearlessness, but still I never chanted the holy name of Lord Krishna or meditated on his beautiful form. So we see that the scriptures, the Shrutis and Smritis, they're both telling us how to take shelter of Lord Hari, and he's, you know, and he, one becomes fearless, because one's fearful because if you identify with the body or the situation the body's in, or the mind, then anything that's going to create a problem for that, you become fearful. But if you're not identifying with these things, then whatever situation comes up, you're not fearful. So saying, I've never, you know, been absorbed in these things. So in the beginning, you can say, I've never chanted these things. Or at the same time, you can say, I'm chanting mechanically, but I've never, you know, absorbed myself or never absorbed myself in the form. Radha Krishna, Duha Paya, Tano Mana, Rahu Taya, Ara Dure, Jauka, Bashana, Narottama Dase, Kaya, Ara More, Nahi Paya, Tanu Mana Pinu Apana. Now I will fix my mind and body at the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna, and my material desires will be vanquished. Narottam Das says, since I have now surrendered unto you, my Lord, I no longer have any fears. Right, so he's pointing out his situation, how it's distressful. He's pointed out how the Shastras say you should surrender to the Lord, and then you'll become fearless. And he says that, say, now I'm determined that I'm going to surrender to the Lord, and therefore come to this platform of having no fears. Because where is fear? You already have your relationship with Krishna. It's eternal relationship. Doesn't matter what goes on around you. It all goes on nicely. You know, it's just like, let's say you're with a friend and you're talking and you're walking down the street, right? Now you're walking in one area, you know, like that, you cross the street, you're in a different area, you go into a shop, you know, you go all different, you go to a restaurant, you go to so many places, you go to a park. All these situations have changed completely, very different. Like, you know, the inner city and the park, you know, the store and on the street, you know, or driving in a car or walking, very, very different. But in all of them, the relationship's going on. So what's to be, what's to worry about? Like that, because if the relationship is there, then everything else doesn't matter. That's not the point. So, yeah. Song 9. Swa Vishta. So we see here is that all these difficulties that he's praying, and so the final becomes summed up in this point of surrendering to Krishna, then you'd be free from all fears. Right? He's heard all the different things. He's seen how he's a servant of lust, anger, and greed, servant of the senses. He's always absorbed in activities that are not of any use. Like that, you know, he has the opportunity to take out Krishna consciousness, and then he becomes distracted. Krishna's mercy is once brought back, he gets distracted again. So he's just pointing out all these different things. So that determination to surrender to Krishna and all that, then that becomes the perfection of praying for that mercy. What was that song? Danya Bodhi Kapratan, but that's what we're doing. Describing the fallen condition. Yeah. So we're in Danya Bodhika. You know, it's a prayer describing the fallen condition. So that fallen condition, he's brought out all the different angles that are there. And so then once he brings out, once that aspect is there, then that, according to the scriptures and all that, then he's saying, it recommends surrender to Krishna. You'll be freed from all fear. And now he's taken, so now I will surrender. And so then he's shown all the different aspects that are there in our lives and given the solution. Just fix the mind and body at the lotus feet of Radha Krishna, and my material desires will be vanquished. Right? Narottam Das says, since I have now surrendered unto you, my Lord, I no longer have any fears. And then you see is it worked. You got the results.
Yeah. Also, Maharaj, we see here that Narottam Das Thakur, ultimately the purpose of the Dainya Bodhika prayers or the mood is finally to surrender to the Lord. Like initial stages, when we kind of get into it, it goes on more on the inferiority complex rather than...
Yes, exactly. Who can be more humble than the other? No, I'm the most fallen. I'm the most fallen. No, I'm the most fallen. They're getting down, groveling on the ground, rolling around, showing how I'd be like this. It's good, clean fun, you know, when you see the brahmacharis get into this like that. But yeah, it means that I'm fallen, so therefore the only solution is surrender to the Lord, not I'm fallen, so this is what I am, what can I do? So I'll just sit here and lament in the mode of ignorance about this. No, it says, so what are you going to do? Like we said before, the practical thing you have to apply. So I'm in a fallen condition, so what's the practical? Get out of that fallen condition. How are you going to do that? By surrender to the Lord, right? The Lord is, you know, his position is very... He is in the transcendental position. Those who have surrendered to him become in the transcendental position. I am in a fallen position. So how to get from that fallen transcendental? I surrender to the Lord, following the footsteps of those great personalities who have gone before us. Yeah? Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada ki.